Welcome back to RBKD. It is a 512 Friday, last hour of the show. As a matter of fact, last hour of the week for us. And before we start getting to some more breakdown of the playoffs, let me let you know how you can contact the show. As a matter of fact, you can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babies in Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01 and Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis. As a matter of fact, Patrick's Twitter handle is the one you really need to know, because if you have any suggestions, compliments, comments, criticism of the music being played on a 512 Friday, he is the man you need to talk to. But it is us playing local and live music that you can hear right here in Austin. And who is this we're listening to, Patrick?
This is the ADH Project. They're playing tomorrow night down at the Rail House in Kyle, and they're playing again next week at Antone's.
So I know Antone's.
We know Antone's.
But you know where it is?
Nah. It's, yes. Yeah, it's changed. It's not where it used to be. Where is it now?
Damn it.
It's closer to Red River down on 6.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I've been to it.
You've been to the
new
location?
I've been to the new one,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's been moved. I partied at the 5th Street one a lot.
Okay.
And that was one where when I was a kid.
You remember any of that?
I remember some of
when
it.
When you were a kid?
Well, I mean,
a youngster.
18, like someone 19, that we would all now call a kid.
Right. When you were a youth. One of the youths.
So you could have been 23.
When I was back in the days when I was in every club in this town, and then I had and then I turned 21, they're like, Patrick turned 21. They're like, dude, you've been here for 4 years.
Yeah. Say, dude, what do you mean? You bought me a shot the other time we
dude,
were in here.
You were kicking people out, carding people.
That is so funny.
Doing whatever you wanted for 4 years. And I was like, yeah, pulled it off, didn't I?
It's like, what?
I had a couple of those, couple spots. Oh, and it's like, hey, it's your 21st birthday. It's like, you've been here for 2 years, man.
I had him across Texas because I was touring.
Oh, they just let you in because you were coming in with bands?
Oh, yeah, come walking with a case and look mad. I had two guitar cases. I also toured the band.
That's true.
That they looked young, and they were 10 years, 15 years older than me. So they looked really young. I looked around their same age, and so they get carded, and they're like, you're 33?
You're like, that kid's all not, of y'all can go.
That kid's not 17.
Right.
Wow. That's a good point, though. Yeah, because you never think a teenager best would be working as like the with the band, coming in late at night and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they were wrong.
Well, also, I could carry myself well enough. I knew at a young age how to play it. And not like in the... Because I also didn't drink. Like, I wasn't going crazy there because there was always an after party. So it wasn't like I was going out and be like, man, give me 25 of your sugariest drinks.
Yeah, you're hanging out with musicians, so things are accessible.
Like, you just be like, hey, I need 8 Jack and Double Jack and Cokes. And then you just walk to stage with 8 Double Jack and Cokes.
Yeah. 8 Double Jack.
No, I remember ordering
very specific
doubles. Like, I would never ordered. I guess maybe I would if it's a tall one, but like not like a double with the small glass. I just need that much more alcohol.
I normally do a double tall.
Double tall, right?
Yeah. It's a different purpose now when you order the double. Back then, he was right. You would be slamming doubles
and trying to
slam another double.
Now it's
on
about
top
laziness,
that.
About going
exactly.
back up there.
Now it's about I don't want to bother this waitress to order 2 drinks. You know what? Just bring me a double because I'm going to order another one as soon as I slam myself.
Can I get some ice on the side?
Exactly.
In all reality,
can you water it down for me a little bit, please?
Also, really, I'd be ordering a triple tall if I could, but that seems crazy because I'm driving home. But if I'm in the house, I'm drinking triple quadruples. My Jack and Cokes get pretty clear by the end of the night. They're just a lot lighter side. Not so much Coke, a lot more Jack Daniels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See?
And that's when they started making those Yeti ones, and you start having Yeti, and you're like, oh, I can pour in an entire can of Coke, and it's still...
and it's still... Yeah, you still can't
still
cut it enough.
It's still pretty heavy? Yeah. Oh, those are good.
I actually asked for... And I was at the bar. I was getting something to go, but got a whiskey and Coke, and got a really strong pour. Know the bartender, and said, hey, can I get a little bit more of that Coke? He had it up there.
Wow.
But I thought, hey, this is not a shot. I appreciate it, but I'm exhausted. I'm having one of these.
I need
and
some more
I've got,
Coke
like,
in here.
Dinner and bed ahead of me is what I got.
That's how you know you're adulting.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Can you cut this a little bit? It's a little too strong.
Sir, a little more ice in this, please.
I've done that. Yeah. Can I get some ice on the side?
Yeah, you are an adult now. Good for you.
Yeah. It's something.
It is.
See,
something.
I'm an adult. I'm just still cheap.
Right. Well, I didn't say I wasn't cheap.
So I still want
Let's
all
get
of
straight
that.
About that.
And then you're like, all right, maybe on the side, give me some other stuff. But I don't. No, give me as much as you can for the price I'm paying.
Yeah. It's not cheap. It's frugal, gentlemen.
It's frugal.
Frugal.
Shout out to Sean at Chinatown.
Frugality.
Sean's the man. Hey, let's talk some NFL here.
Let's do it.
So quickly, we can get to this, actually. Jerry Jones. God, this is when Jerry's so great for the media because he's got no problem talking. So he was talking Wednesday, I know, and then also
Oh, also, this is about Mike McCarthy?
Was on the Fan today. Yeah.
I think I might have heard about this. Did he basically refuse to give, or not refuse, but just he did not give a vote of confidence to Mike McCarthy? Is that what this is about?
Yeah, no, he said he's gonna be looking at everything.
Okay.
And so he was on the Fan today, said, I'm not gonna get into any conversations that I've had with anybody.
Yeah, I heard that.
Relative to anything to do with the staff, I understand the interest in it, but there's nothing compelling me to do that. I've got everyone under contract that I want to have under contract, and so that's where we are. Now, on Wednesday, McCarthy said he had a very positive conversation with Jones and that is going through the evaluation process after the team's loss.
I saw this from Bleacher Report that Matt LaFleur said the Packers started studying to play the 49ers before the Cowboys game.
Really?
So that they wouldn't waste time or they could get a jump, you know.
Does that sound like Aaron Rodgers like, hey man, you want to go take a shot at my old coach?
it does kind of sound like
good call
it.
On that.
Yeah, no, it does. But I mean, that's what I got from Bleacher Report. So I don't know if it's 100% true, but yeah, I mean, there's a really good chance that a coach who has a bye week preparing for an opponent that's playing obviously the week before them, it is very possible that they would try their best to do as much week preparation for an opponent to try to give themselves an advantage. But you'd be taking, obviously an estimated, you'd be taking kind of a risk doing that.
Well, and also,
you could waste practice time if you don't end up playing that opponent.
Well, remember, they were all LaFleur, Shanahan, and McVay all coaches on that Washington football team staff.
No, they were close before that.
So it may be a thing. He's just like, Shanahan's not going to lose.
Shanahan and LaFleur were on the Texan staff together.
Yeah, so there may just be a thing where he's like, he's not going to lose.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you can just know Shanahan really well and just know that that's a bad matchup for Mike McCarthy because he also has a quarterback there that knows Mike McCarthy really well. And he probably said, you know what? Considering how well I know Shanahan and considering how well I know Mike McCarthy via Aaron Rodgers and everything he's told me, I'm pretty sure they're probably pretty intimate about that kind of stuff. We're going to prepare for the 49ers. There's a really good chance they're going to beat the Cowboys, even though they're an underdog.
That said a lot. So yes, Jones went on to say today with the 105.3 Fan interview, if I thought changing out men at any level that would improve us, I'd change it out. He said, I'm very, very frustrated and upset. You can call it, this is funny, you can call it COVID. You can call it anything. But we have used up some very talented players over the last few years. What the hell does that mean?
I have no idea.
What?
I think he means that we've used up their years.
And where's COVID in that?
Well, because he's like, if we say like we weren't as good because the COVID years of football, but everyone had to deal with them.
COVID had nothing to do with Sunday.
I agree. But yeah, my guess is that the last 2 years he thought he should be competing for a Super Bowl and they weren't.
Okay. Call it COVID, call it whatever. I'll call it a lot of things. COVID is a little part of it, but
call it coaching.
It's not. Yeah, it's not why you're here.
Decision making.
Quickly, he also said, "Now let me be real clear. One of the pet peeves I have is that I don't like this." Well, we've got to work on this in the off season. We've got to work on this. He said, "I don't go for that." He said, "I want those things recognized and addressed after we play Tampa, after the first game, or after we play the sixth game. Okay. I don't want to wait until we're sitting here with no season left to address these things we're doing or not doing." He was pretty frustrated.
Yeah, but they actually, the Cowboys, after like week six, because now you can see that you can track it now based on, the last 10 weeks of the season for them. You go look at it, man, they had a precipitous drop in a ton of different areas of production. Passing yards per attempt dropped from 8.4 to 6.8. Rushing yards per attempt dropped from 5.1 to 3.5. QB pressures allowed dropped from 11 to something that's good. Pressures allowed went from 11 to 15, so it actually increased, but still bad, my point. Receiver drop percentage went from 2.5% to 8.3%. Percentage of drives ending in a score went from 51% to 39%. And their record, of course, 5-1 to 7-5. They were just a much different team late in the year and just wasn't a good team. Haven't been a good team late in the year, I should
say. How much
that
was them getting figured out, do you think? Because we talked about it. It felt like they were balanced at the beginning of the year, but the reality was they actually had no identity, and the vertical passing game goes away, and the run game was just not there for the last, felt like the second half.
I think it's part that and part Dak, that Dak wasn't the same quarterback in the second part of the year. But yeah, I think a lot of it is, hey, they're not being able to run the ball. This O-line that everyone keeps thinking is still the O-line from five, 6 years ago isn't that O-line. It just attacked the O-line, and that changes everything for them. Yeah. And they never adjusted to that.
Yeah, but the receiver drop percentage, 2.5% to 8.3% in the weeks 8 through 18.
How much of that was CeeDee Lamb?
Could have been Dak being a little off, could be CeeDee Lamb, but that's, you know, that's one of those things where that it shouldn't have a significant drop like that. I agree the O-line is probably to blame for the rushing yardage and the rushing production dropping the way it does, but yeah, it seems like that was a wholesale failure. Quarterback, wide out started underachieving, O-line underachieved, running backs got hurt, coaching seemed like it was inept at times, and game management, we talked about that. It was a failure in
run
all fronts.
Run defense went away.
Yeah, on all fronts.
Penalties,
man.
Constantly
penalties.
Penalties,
constant. There you go. I mean, it was. There's not one thing you can blame. So no. I feel there is.
His name's Mike McCarthy.
Yes, you can.
some fans would go a step above that.
There you go. You can't fire that one.
No, you can't.
No, he won't.
No, you can't. You're going to be stuck with it because this is going to be Steven's team or his kid's team.
But we've talked about how there's been growth there.
Oh, yeah.
There's been growth there, right?
I feel better with that.
There's been evolution there because Stephen Jones influenced. He didn't draft Johnny
But
Manziel.
He is his dad's seed, so he's headed that direction as the crazy older billionaire.
Well, no, but Will McClay there now and Stephen Jones, they've done a much better job of getting quality talent and building through the draft and not allowing Jerry Jones to fall in love with players and sign these unreasonable deals, even though, the Zeke deal is unreasonable and Jalen Smith and all that. But I think they've done a better job. So right now, I think Jerry's done his job as the GM, technically. Now, did you hire the right head coach? That's part of the GM's job. But, man, you got enough talent there to win a playoff game.
I agree.
To win one playoff game.
All right, let's get to the playoffs. Let's start with Bengals-Titans. That'll be our first game tomorrow on CBS. And the Titans are favored by 3.5. Raj, you said this earlier. They haven't been this healthy in a long, long time.
All year.
Can the Bengals, with the 51 sacks given up, protect long enough to let Joey Cool actually get the ball out of his hands to his plethora of weapons? If you haven't seen Cincinnati, they're a really fun team.
They are.
Ja'Marr Chase is already a superstar in this league.
Yeah, that's the question, right? Because Tennessee's weakest part of their team is their pass defense. It's a bottom 10 pass defense, but oftentimes that pass defense is protected by the pass rush. And the Titans have a really good interior pass rush, and Joe Burrow is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. He does a really good job of getting the ball out quickly, insulating himself with his timing. 2.6 seconds is when he gets the ball out on average.
Is that where Brady is?
Joe Burrow's at 2.6.
Where's Brady?
I can find it.
Figured you got that in there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I do have it in here, actually. He actually has the fastest in the league right now on Brady.
Brady? That's what I thought.
Yeah, so
he's
the
fastest
in the league.
He's probably 2.4, 2.5.
I will find you the exact time. But yeah, he's running the fastest in the league right now. And in the last game, I think it was 2.5 seconds in the last game they had. And he was getting the ball out quickly because they don't have any vertical threats.
Right. He's going to do that again this time. I just think there's going to be guys waiting for him.
I think you're right about the Rams
will allow stuff in front of them, but that's when they're facing teams where maybe there's a true deep threat.
Yeah.
Watch, Scotty Miller is going to go off for 5 catches, 2 long bombs. Rod's going to come in and say, you just didn't trust the white guy, did you?
I can smell what's going to
happen.
He's a vertical
threat.
But my concern is protecting Joe Burrow. I don't think they're going to be able to protect Joe Burrow. Long enough for him to exploit that secondary. When he's been sacked 51 times, when he's sacked 3 times or less, they're 6-0. When he's sacked 3 times or more, more than 3 times, 5-6. So I think they'll get to him enough.
All right, so are we all taking Tennessee? Patrick, what are you
doing?
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry's back. And I get that they're doing well without
Derrick
Henry.
He's back, but he hadn't been even
I get that, but
contact.
It's Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Like, this is
like
this
contact's
is,
not going to.
This is this year's MVP without the injury.
Agreed. Yes.
So if you're telling me this team is getting back the best player in football before he got hurt.
He's still 5th or 6th in rushing.
And that team was still.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't pick him.
Okay.
It's just good.
And they're the healthiest they've been
running,
all year.
Running wins in playoff games.
I want to take the Bengals
bad weather.
Here. I want to take the Bengals here because of the Titans, and it will be 37. It's going to be cold there. I still don't believe in Tannehill as much as I should, as much as he's proved, put it to you that way. But the Bengals aren't complete enough yet, and there are enough holes there, specifically with their offensive line, that – I will go with the Titans. I don't feel as confident as y'all do.
I'll give you a stat that may make you feel a little bit more confident. Two of them, actually, real quick. Mike Vrabel, with 8-plus days of rest and 8-plus days to prepare for an opponent, 8-0.
This guy's 8-0 straight up. He's still underrated as a coach.
Yes, he is. Texans, you should have kept that guy. Yeah. He was a Texans DC.
Do you guys remember when I was going through the coaches and the salaries and I was talking about college and pro and all that?
Yeah.
He was at like $4 million.
Really?
He's got to get it.
And by the way,
yes.
He's great at hiring coaches. Matt LaFleur was his OC. Arthur Smith was his OC. Yeah. The guy knows what he's doing. So 8-0 against the spread and 8-0 straight up when he has 8-plus days to prepare for an opponent. That is the case. And Joe Burrow, of course, most sacked quarterback in the NFL. You know the team that has the most pressures with a 4-man rush?
Tennessee?
Actually, it's not Tennessee.
San Francisco, isn't it?
Yeah, they're sixth. Okay. Tennessee is sixth, which is pretty good. Which is still pretty good. So they'll be able to get, it's 193, I think, total pressures. So they'll be able to get pressure on them without blitzing.
All right, so we're taking the Titans there. We talked 49ers, Packers. Good Rod's rant of the day. If you want to get to hornfm.com. Getting into the wing back. We didn't mention Urban Fryer, who was he was a wing back.
The Dolphins back in the day was Urban Fryer?
He was Nebraska.
Oh, in the NFL.
I'm trying to think who he played with. I thought he was the Patriots. I'll have to look at that.
Oh, maybe I'm off. I thought he was with the Dolphins for a while, too.
Rams Bucks. I think Sunday is the best day. I think of your two best matchups. I mean, I'm excited about tomorrow, but Rams Bucks, I'm taking the upset. Buccaneers only favored by 2.5, but I think this is a matchup problem.
Both? Yeah.
Okay.
Patriots, then Dolphins.
I think that this is a matchup problem for the Bucs. We talked about the lack of a vertical threat, and the Rams are going to be able to definitely have a lot of bodies at the line, and you're going to see a ton of 13 personnel. They're running a ton of 13 personnel, mm-hmm. which is what they should do. The Bucs should do with what they have available right now. One of my biggest questions is Matt Stafford. Guys, it's funny. Most people get to this age, and you are what you are. But the Lions have been so bad that Rod can read off all those numbers he read off earlier. What is he like? You said 1-299 against anyone with a pulse.
No, he's 8-68.
What it felt like.
He's 8-68 versus teams who finish the season with a winning record.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's with the Lions.
So,
really, he's one of these guys who's played for 15 years. And his whole legacy is going to be about this year, next year, and however longer he plays, as long as he's with this type of team. Because trust me, if Matt Stafford does even get to the Super Bowl and plays pretty well in this game, and let's say he goes and beats Green Bay, and they get there and not even win it, everyone's going to say, I told you that was all Lions. I feel like it's almost the Belichick-Brady thing.
Right.
It's different, though. It's like, well, what's the percentage? How do we weigh this out?
I agree.
Everything for him is, because trust me, all those years, he's not going to get blamed for that if he finishes this off well.
I'm with you. I'm going with Matt Stafford, but man, it's hard to bet against the GOAT.
And if he loses to Tom Brady, then he was never an elite quarterback. He's never going to do it. You better trade him and get a new quarterback in L.A. if you want to win.
Yep.
So it's a flip of it. I mean, it's a big game for him.
It's a huge game. I want to get back to something that Rod brought up, though. And you got the Buccaneers that are blitzing. Was it 38% of the time, Rod?
Yeah, they love it, man.
And Matt Stafford is the best quarterback this year. When he's blitzed,
when he is
pressured. Bad matchup. And he is also taking care of the ball. He's got the best touchdown to interception ratio. He's got the highest QBR. He's got the highest passer rating against pressure. Mm-hmm. Todd Bowles likes to do that. Todd Bowles also proved last year in the Super Bowl that he's got no problem breaking tendencies.
That is true. Great point. And that is how he came up with that masterful game plan versus Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So we'll see in this game if he decides to do something a little bit different. But the key is no vertical threat for Tom Brady. I just don't know how they stretch the field, but we could be wrong. That's why he's the GOAT. But I'm picking the Rams. I'm going with the Rams.
Okay, I think we're all going with the Rams. Yeah. We'll get to the Bills Chiefs coming up next segment. If you want to watch all these games and do it at a great sports bar as you're getting the best wings in town, Pluckers is the spot, the best place for chicken wings in Austin, and also the best place to watch your favorite team or maybe just one of the games you want to check out. Tomorrow would be great. I mean, you've got to go there. Hang out and watch Texas and Oklahoma State, watch some college basketball, and then you got the NFL coming on so you can watch the Bengals and the Titans. 7 locations in the Austin area. Get to Pluckers.com to find one near you. Lots of people that listen in Dallas and Houston, San Antonio. You've got locations. You got a lot of them. Pluckers is all over the state, and there's a reason it's been so successful. Go in there enjoy the environment, enjoy all the TVs, and enjoy the great food. They got a lot of different options. Don't forget about the desserts, because they have some of the best desserts that you're going to run into. You can get them delivery with DoorDash. You can get to Pluckers.com, order online, go pick it up if you're having a party. And don't forget, if you're going to Pluckers, get the Pluckers Club app and virtually save your place in line. That'll save you a little bit of time. Pluckers, if you don't like our wings, we will give you the bird. Back to the NFL up next. Hope y'all are staying warm. Hope you got the weekend already started. We're about to get ours started here in about half an hour. Still a couple more segments to go. And, of course, we're talking NFL. We're also giving you a little 512 Friday. Patrick does so many great things for the show, but he brings a different element with the music. And is real. It made Rod and I realize that we don't know about a lot of these venues, and I don't know enough about my city. Born and raised here. I'm a unicorn Austinite like you are. I should be keeping up with this, and you're helping us. Who's this?
This is Amplified Heat. They've been around for a few years now, but they're doing a show Sunday at Sagebrush. It's a cool lineup, and it's also a can drive.
Oh, so, cool. Very cool.
Always good to see when these bands give back.
Without a doubt. That's always needed, but definitely... right now. Hey, before we get back to maybe more Buffalo and Kansas City talk, the Ravens, and Patrick, you alerted me to this, the Ravens have parted ways with their DC, Wink Martindale, after 4 years in the position, 10 with the team. It's kind of surprising here, isn't it?
Yeah, I apparently Harbaugh put out the statement, so I'm guessing that it really just came down to Harbaugh and him having some differences on maybe where they wanted to go with the defense, players they were targeting in a draft, free agents,
you
paying people.
After several productive conversations, Don and I have agreed to move forward in separate directions.
Okay.
We had a great run on defense, and I'm very proud of what he accomplished here and the work, but we're just looking at it differently now. So.
And I'm trying to think of...
Rod, does this add to your theory that you were talking about? There's more guys involved. This will open up a spot.
It will open up a spot, and I mean, the Ravens have a great reputation as an organization, right? Great culture, great defensive culture. So all of those top names we talked about, Vic Fangio, Raheem Morris, Zimmer, also in that conversation, I'm assuming they also will be trying to look to fill that position with one of those big-time names. But also now, Wink Martindale now, he's one of those guys. Now, he doesn't have the same resume, because I'm talking about the Dan Quinn resume, the ex-head coach, also known as a defensive guru. I think that's going to become popular because of how successful Dan Quinn was. I mean, that was just a hell of a job he did. But, Wink Martindale is well-respected. And now you know that he wasn't necessarily let go because of, like, his effectiveness as a DC. It was more about the disagreement on direction.
I gotta say, this has nothing to do with what he's done on the field or with the players, but I like the fact that Dan Quinn seems likable. I like any head coach who moves to D.C. and then will, like, have his hat turned around. You know, like, he's not still trying to keep that, I was a head coach in the league.
Or he was doing drills with him.
He was doing drills on the ground with him, man. Parsons really wants him back.
He does.
And I can understand. I think all Cowboys fans want him back.
Baltimore, though, I'm surprised their scoring defense was as low as it was. I didn't realize that. They're middle of the road in scoring defense.
Which for them is not good.
Which is not good for them. They were a top 10 total defense, but scoring defense, they were
This year, they got derailed by COVID a lot this year, and it never seemed to get back on track, especially with Lamar Jackson getting hurt. Once it went off the rails, it was done.
It didn't feel like this was their year. Do you remember doing we're at Pluckers, South Lamar, and doing the NFL roundtable?
Yes, sir.
Remember that day?
Yeah.
It was every 10 minutes, there was like a running back who tore an Achilles. It was stupid.
And then they lost a DB, man. They lost one of the starting DBs.
It was like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Started out that way. Okay, so we've talked Bengals, Titans. We've talked Niners, Packers. We are taking the Titans. We are taking the Packers. And I think all of us are taking the Rams, man.
We all agreed on everything.
I know,
huh?
Which we don't talk about this, and we would rather not. We've changed it up a little bit. Rod is still undefeated, by the way. Patrick and I just have the one loss, the Cowboys Niners. So we'll see how we do. We've done well so far. Bills Chiefs, that is the game. That'll be the night game on Sunday. Bills, I think Patrick said it earlier, and I think it's tough to argue. They feel like the hottest team in the NFL right now.
They do. They do. And the defense, you know, it's legit, man. They're the best, statistically, best scoring defense, best third down defense in the league. Not one Pro Bowler on the defense. How about that? Best defense in the league, but not one Pro Bowler on it. Got a chip on their shoulder. I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to go with the Bills and Josh Allen. Hard to pick against Patrick Mahomes and that group, but I do think that the Bills integrating Devin Singletary in the running game a little bit more now, so it's not so lopsided in terms of their how they feature Josh Allen and funnel all the usage to him in the running game. Now he can just beat you as an added element in the running game. And, yeah, man, he's coming off, arguably, engineering the greatest offensive performance we've ever seen in the history of the NFL.
Definitely in the playoffs. So they were 7-7.
Yeah, hard to forget that, man.
And the Chiefs actually were stopped early on, and they kind of showed their patience because I think they had 6 possessions in a row where they're scoring. I'm going to go with KC on this. I think this is going to be a fantastic football team. I really like this Buffalo team. The addition of the run game that Daboll has implemented with Devin Singletary to go with what Josh Allen brings says a lot. I think this is going to be a hell of a football game, and it could go either way, but I'm going to go with Kansas City. I think they've figured it out. Their defense has been playing so well for so long. I mean, even longer than when they had their Super Bowl run. And I think offensively, we've seen so much maturation, specifically from Patrick Mahomes, understanding that it's not about the video game drives. It's about winning football games, and it's going to take some patience. I think they're going to have enough patience, and I think that, man, Tre'Davious White being out is something we're going to look at Monday and say that may have been it. I'll take Kansas City. So there we go. We got a little difference there. What are you doing, Patrick?
I got Buffalo in this. They're just so hot right now, and you feel like if Buffalo gets down, they can get back in this game. Mm. Kansas City being patient all year, doing the right thing. If they get down a score or two, they start slow, and Buffalo doesn't. They're up 14-0. And all of a sudden, now it's, all right, Pat, is your time? Is you're going to be able to do this? Are you going to be able to put it downfield? That's when he starts forcing passes again. So, I don't even know if they'll even be down 14-0. It seems like it's going to be a close game throughout. But I think that Buffalo right now, I don't bet against hot teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. I agree with that. I love that hot team theory.
I'm with you on that. I still think the Chiefs, they're not as hot, but I still think the Chiefs right now, there's a confidence level they have that they feel like they're hot.
No, the Chiefs are the only real dynasty in football right now in the NFL. You can go, this team could be in the Super Bowl for the next 5 years and it wouldn't surprise anybody.
To Patrick's point about being a close game, I do think it's going to be it'll be a close game all the way throughout and, of course, in the fourth quarter. That worries me a little bit, picking the Bills. They're 0-5. And fourth quarter comeback and game-winning drive opportunities this season. When they get into a close game like that, they don't usually close the deal. I don't know what that's about, and coffee is for closers. Second thing, this is a little freaky little nugget here. There have been one team this season that went the entire game without blitzing Kansas City one time. It was the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
Full game without blitzing them in that last matchup. That's what they want to do.
And we know don't blitz Patrick Mahomes.
It's almost a waste of a down.
And don't blitz.
Yeah, almost a waste of a down. So they're pretty extreme in their approach. So I like that, but I don't like if it's going to be a close game in the fourth quarter because that's when you can get clutch Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coffee is for closers.
Damn right it is.
So do you want to come up and get some coffee? Nah, I can't. It keeps me up.
Coffee meant sex.
Coffee didn't mean coffee.
Coffee is never coffee late at night.
I can't. It keeps me up.
Such a great line.
Even when Costanza can't get laid, he just jumps in his own way.
Oh, that is fantastic.
You got an apple or something? I like an apple when I'm talking on the phone with him.
Oh, man.
All right, some other stuff with this game. I think both are relatively healthy. We talked about Andrew Whitworth and Tristan Wirfs. So I think that could be a big factor. And actually, Tampa Bay's got a couple questionable guys. We'll see who exactly plays. This one seems like it's going to be, relatively healthy for both. And, man, I got to give Kansas City a lot of credit. They've rebuilt this offensive line. And I did say, if you remember, beginning of the year when they were having problems, we were really going through all of their problems as a team. And I said, the offensive line's going to get better. And they have.
They have.
Because, three or four of the guys, including at right tackle, Even because of COVID last year, they were either rookies or it essentially was their rookie year.
Agreed.
And Orlando Brown had made the move over. So I just feel like this offense is clicking. I mean, people are going to keep them in front of them, but if they get explosives with checking down like they did last week, good luck.
And if they can run the ball, watch out.
If they run the ball, they're winning this.
That's I totally agree. If they can run the ball effectively, Tennessee's going to win.
If either one of these teams runs the ball effectively, they're winning.
I can see that because, you're not going to stop either one of those quarterbacks. Not for four quarters.
No.
You can limit them a little bit, but not for four quarters.
I don't think so. Okay, so we've pretty much hit all those. Is there one?
What's the most likely upset?
That's exactly what I wanted to get to.
Let's go real quick. Most likely upset. If I had to pick one right now as the most likely of the upsets.
I mean, I guess it would be Bills because they're a dog, but I wouldn't consider that an upset. I think that's a coin toss.
I'm not even going to that one. I'm probably going to the other three because Bills Chiefs to me is that close. That's not an upset in my mind. I know it is.
I'm picking the Rams, so would that be my upset?
Are the Bucks favored? Oh, the Bucks are favored. I guess that's the upset then. I guess that's the upset.
I mean,
that's
two and a half at home, upset. So it's almost Vegas.
No, you're right. That's the most likely upset. I didn't realize that they were a 2.5-point favorite. Yeah. Man, GOAT as a dog. Wow. GOATs have been dogs a lot this year.
They have.
Belichick, Saban.
No, I'll put you in this. What are the odds the Bengals come in and are a year ahead of schedule? The Bengals can pull this upset. What are the odds of that?
It could happen. You know, we talked Niners-Dallas last week, and I'm not saying these Bengals are going to go on the run that the early 90s Cowboys did with no salary cap, but that was a year before. We've had this before in sports where all of a sudden that year that you have them slated to hit you a year before, and it could happen with them. I just don't think they're complete enough. I like their run defense. I got some other. I think they have some other holes defensively.
It's the O-line.
But it's the O-line,
it's the O-line, man. It's lines of scrimmage.
Shout out to our boy Trey Hopkins at center, but the O-line's bad.
You convinced me about this too, man, in the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Bucks, and the Bucks whipped them on the lines of scrimmage. I think the Bengals are weakest there, and it's one of the strengths of the Titans. That's a bad matchup to me. So if I'm looking at coaches, I always go right coach, quarterback, lines of scrimmage. That's what I'm trying to check. Who's got the better coach? Mike Vrabel's a better coach. Who's got the better quarterback? Bengals got the better quarterback with Joe Burrow. Who's got the better lines of scrimmage? Titans got a better line of scrimmage.
Two out of three.
I'll take the
tribute to Meatloaf.
Two out of three ain't bad. Meatloaf passed away today. Who else did?
Louis Anderson.
Wow, I didn't know Louis Anderson passed away too.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
As a fat guy, it's a hard blow for me.
This is tough, man.
That is a tough blow.
I did mention I played in a celebrity softball game. I'm not sure what I was doing there, but Meatloaf was pitching. And speaking of Seinfeld, Tim Watley was behind the plate when he was doing Malcolm in the Middle. Which I had never seen.
Nice, Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
And both those guys
were
really cool.
That's big time.
Got a base hit off Meatloaf.
Oh, dude.
Rest in peace. He was awesome. I mean, he was the life of that team, and he was funny. He was talking some trash back and forth with me, you know, having fun with the real world and stuff like that. And then I was having fun with him. He was only 20 seconds of talking, but pretty cool guy.
Nice to know celebs are cool people.
Yeah, no. So rest in peace there. We'll be back to tell you what's on tap this weekend.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really good.
That is good.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to RBKD. Last segment of the show. Last segment of the week. We'll let you know what's on tap before we get out of here. And reminder, tomorrow, Texas basketball taking on Oklahoma State. Texas pregame at 12:30. Tomorrow. So tune in to hear Craig Way on the call. Craig Way on the call?
He is, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
No, he sounded better last night.
He's been taking some time. Sorry, make sure.
He sounded better last night.
Yeah, he did do the show with Chris Beard last night.
This is a big one, y'all. You don't want to lose three in a row. And this is a team that beat you by 13 and offensively looked awful. So I expect Texas to come out and get a dub here. But I expected that against Kansas State. So
yeah. A little bit more sense of urgency now, though. A little bit more desperation, considering, yeah, like you said, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to fall too behind in the Big 12 because this conference is brutal, as we all know.
Don't forget about the weekend shows tomorrow, 7 a.m., playing through. So if you love golf, you'll love that. Love Bob. Then you got Big Ugly Tailgate, Casey and Johnny and the crew doing a good job there. Not sure if Ashley will be there. And then you got The High Ground with Craig Flowers, the Revved Up Sports Show, and Real Life, Real Talk with our man TC Speaks. Sunday,
nice.
The outdoor,
shout out.
Yeah, Sunday, the Outdoor Zone, and then also the Wagner Wire with our buddy Wag. So we've got a good weekend lineup for you, and as Rod mentioned, pregame tomorrow at 12:30. You're going to get some barbecue. Speaking of Casey, you're going to go hit up Whitfield's,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to hit up Whitfield's for the games coming up this weekend. Need some BBQ. If you're thinking about BBQ, Whitfield's is at Brody and Davis right there at the corner.
You may even run into one Rod Babers.
You might run into me there. I mean, actually, it's not too far from the crib.
He hooks you up with extra stuff. I know you, that you're, you'll are you tip, I mean, or pay anyway. But
I think Casey hooks everybody up when they go there.
He probably
does. You get fat plates. So you get, yeah, you
get Casey Stutter plates.
Exactly.
I would say that if I have one person, one position picking out my food, I want offensive lineman portion control.
Amen.
Always.
Amen to that, brother. Yeah, I agree. And trust me, some damn good barbecue. So Whitfield's, if you're thinking about BBQ.
Patrick, what are you doing? I know that you're not going out too much tonight because you've got an engineer at the game tomorrow.
I'm not doing too much tonight. Tomorrow is my co-host and serious birthday party, so we'll be hanging out watching the NFL. And tonight, it's Patty Mills Appreciation Night in San Antonio.
Hey.
Nets play the Spurs.
Did he get a bobblehead? Patty Mills bobblehead?
No, well, Patty Mills went to Brooklyn, but he played for the Spurs forever. Okay. DeJounte Murray, the star player for the Spurs, was like, y'all better show him some respect.
Nice.
When he comes back to town, y'all better cheer for him.
Better give him some love. Y'all enjoy all the games this weekend. We'll be back on Monday to review everything. Stay warm. Stay safe. Enjoy life. Hook 'em in peace, y'all.